Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
It is 12 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Joy News Today. We're live on DSTV Channel 421, GoTV Channel 125, across all our social media handles. We are Joy News on TV. Coming up within the next 60 minutes, energy analysts ask government to dialogue with power producers to forestall power crisis as power producers curtail supply to the national grid. Also coming up, member of the new force communication team, Shalima Abiusi, describes ECOWAS court ruling on her rearrest, detention and subsequent deportation as a win for human rights.
Through the hands of a flawed system and abuse of power. So I believe that it reaffirms the importance of standing up against the violation of human rights.
But also be on the campaign trail for updates, because this is your election headquarters. We've got business news, sport news and world news in this package as well. My name is Faustina Safo. Take a seat. Be my guest. We are your home of independent, fearless, incredible journalism. Thanks for choosing us. Now we start with a member of the communications team of the new force, Shalima Abiusi, because she has described ECOWAS court ruling on her rearrest, detention and subsequent deportation as a win for human rights. The court has described her deportation in December 2023 as unlawful and a violation of her fundamental rights under Article 6 of the African Charter on Human Rights and People's Rights. Well, Ms. Abiusi was awarded $10,000 in compensation. Speaking on Newsex earlier, she said that though she's excited about the ECOWAS court ruling, the compensation cannot redo the damage caused to her reputation.
This victory is historical, and I believe it's not just a historical moment for me, but for every single person who has experienced a similar injustice and who fell victim to the hands of a flawed system and abuse of power. So I believe that it reaffirms the importance of standing up against the violation of human rights. And winning this case sends a clear message that human rights have to be respected and violations will not go unchallenged. And I also want to add that no compensation can make up for violations, human rights violations, because our liberty is not for sale. Having access to legal representation is a basic human right, and it is unbelievable that people are being denied this fundamental human right. And I believe that there is an absolute need for stronger oversight in law enforcement, and we have to keep governments accountable. International bodies must oversee and keep governments accountable and protect human rights. And I also believe that governments should implement laws and regulation and guarantee access to legal counsel.
How long did a case take, though, in court?
I think altogether it was 7 months. Mm.
Did we have representation from Ghana in court?
Yes, Attorney General.
Oh, the AG himself. In this is your election headquarters. President Akufo-Addo is on a three-day tour of the Ashanti region, where he will be commissioning some projects, including hospitals. Earlier, he met with professional groups in Kumasi, where he touted his government's achievement and his desire for the continuity of his party. And that is, he wants it retained in power. Well, the president, in asking for their votes for Dr. Bawumia, described the former president, John Dramani Mahama, as a failed president who does not deserve a second opportunity in power.
To become president, Jerry John Rawlings, John Atiku before, John Dramani Mahama, and myself, and another number of all these, Jerry Rawlings had a second term. John Ajakun before had a second term. Nanabu Dagwa before had a second term. The only one who was not given a second term is John Dramani Mahama. There's a reason for it. Was it the human and so bad for every and put in Yaman one under you? Then, also, for so baby, not there. What is he coming to do? 24-hour economy. You couldn't keep the lights on for 12 hours a day here at Tumson time when you were president, and you're coming to give us a 24-hour economy. How are you going to do that? You couldn't keep the lights on for 12 hours a day in Ghana when you were president. But today you're coming to give us a 24-hour economy. Please, don't let anybody be confused by these things. Yen pe upia. What prepared 8 years in opposition as my deputy. 8 years in office as vice president. A man of unimpeachable integrity. Yeah. 16 years I've been operating in Mantele. Me who for so back home.
Anaya Aljima joins us live from the Ashanti region with updates on the president's tour of the area. Anaya, what can you report?
And it's supposed to commission some projects within the Ashanti region. The tour will basically focus on commissioning of new projects that have been completed under Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo's regime. Today, he will focus on the commissioning of two of the Bamed projects in the Ashanti region. These are 40-bed hospital facilities. And the first one is the Jobonso District Hospital. It's a 40-bed hospital, and the president will commission that. Immediately after this, he will move straight to Sabonim within the Ashanti region and the Ahapo Anom constituency to also commission another district hospital, another 40-bed district hospital at Sabonu. Immediately after that, he comes back into the Kumasi metropolis to commission a bridge at Atapua within the Bantama constituency. This bridge is very important to the people within the constituency because in about two years, this particular bridge has claimed lives of about seven people, telling you how relevant that the fixing of this bridge and the importance of it to the socio-economic needs of the people within Bantama constituency and other adjoining constituencies within the Kumasi metropolis. So the president will have a very busy day in the Ashanti region. It's a three-day visit of the region.
Thank you, Nanaya Aljima, for bringing us that update. Well, Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia has commended the Lands Commission for its digital transformation. Speaking at the commissioning of the new corporate office of the Lands Commission, Dr. Bawumia lauded the automation of land title certification, highlighting its impact on improving efficiency and reducing the errors normally associated with manual processes. Let's get more on this. Kenneth Jesse joins us live with more. Kenneth, what else has come up?
The Vice President has three itineraries for today. Commissioning of the Corporate Office of the Lands Commission is the first one. And of course, there he touted his digitalization drive, which he says incorporated into the Lands Commission when he visited the place in 2018. And he is thankful that they have been able to implement it. And due to the digitalization that they've done, incorporated the Ghana card, now you can have mortgage requests via the Ghana.gov application. This is also the first time that the Lands Commission is having a corporate office of that nature since it was incorporated into an act in 2008. So the Vice President has basically been thanking the Lands Commission for following his digitalization drive. Now, from there, he went to the trade fair where a multi-purpose theater is being put up, as he says that the theater is going to be completed in 8 months, and that is going to help the creative art industry a lot. He said it's a public-private partnership and going to solve some of the problems that faces the creative arts industry. As we speak now, we're heading toward Tema, where he is going there to commission over 1,000 bed facility affordable housing projects. So these are the itineraries for the Vice President for today, Faustina.
Thank you, Kenneth Jesse. Now, away from the NPP, the National Chairman of the Opposition National Democratic Congress, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, says the NDC will complete all projects initiated by the NPP except the National Cathedral. He opines projects by government are funded from taxpayers, therefore allowing them to rot will be a disadvantage to the people and communities. Johnson Asiedu Nketiah made the disclosure at Welembele in the Sisala East constituency. Rafiq Salam reports.
The National Chairman of the NDC, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, started his two-day retail campaign tour of the Upper West region at Welembele in the Sisala East constituency. Despite the NDC winning over 80% of the presidential votes in the constituency in the last elections, the party led by Mohamed Issa Bataglia, however, lost the Sisala East parliamentary seat. Mohamed Bataglia is back in the race and is confident Lady Luck will smile on him this time round.
We are Sisala. Sisala literally means our builders. We want to join hands with him as a Gonja man, with Chairman General supporting us strongly to build Ghana, build Sisala East, and establish Welembele to a level that will invite investors to open up the economic opportunities of the area.
National Chairman of the NDC, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, said that the signs are clear that the NDC will win next month's elections. He disclosed that the NDC will complete all unfinished projects initiated by the NPP except the National Cathedral project.
We believe that it is our money that any government uses to start those projects. So whether they are started by us or they are started by another government, if we leave them to rot, we are hurting the community. So when we come, whatever projects they may have started, apart from the National Cathedral, all the other projects, we will look at them and then see to it that we complete them.
Reporting for Joy News, Rafiq Salam, Welembele.
Still on the NDC, John Mahama campaign team members say that they have credible information about the illicit printing of fake ballot papers by the governing New Patriotic Party. Well, in a statement signed by the spokesperson for the campaign, Joyce Baumgartner, she stated that the NDC will not tolerate any attempts to undermine the will of the people of Ghana. Max Olagbagba joins us live from the Western region, where John Mahama is set to begin his tour of the region. Maxwell, has his meeting with the Western Regional House of Chiefs started yet? Maxwell, you have to unmute for me to hear you clearly. Whilst we rework that line to get to Maxwell Agbagba, let's tell you about the Ghana Police Service, because they are asking churches and religious leaders not to shield individuals who may engage in criminal activities or incite violence on election day. During a tour of selected churches in Accra on Sunday, the team led by the regional commander thanked the church for the key role it plays in ensuring peace and asks for its continuous collaboration as the nation goes to the polls in 12 days.
The Greater Accra Regional Police Commander, DCOP Kwesi Ahin, during a visit to some churches, emphasized the critical role of religious organizations in promoting peace and stability during the electoral process.
We also want to use this particular platform to thank you very much for your contribution towards the peace that we are enjoying in this country. It's because of you that we are enjoying that peace. The way you've been conducting yourself, the way you've been behaving yourself, how you've been law-abiding, that is the reason why you are enjoying this peace. And we want to continue to plead with you to continue to do that for us, to support us in that regard.
The police cautioned that shielding offenders, whether through silence or active complicity, could undermine the nation's democratic principles and lead to unrest.
We want to urge you to give us information on the criminals in your community so that we can deal with them decisively, so that you can continue to enjoy the peace that you are enjoying. Even if the person has to be your brother, your sister, your colleague or whatever, please volunteer that information to us. Maybe he's doing it to other people.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you're done with them, you'll be the next target. So please, let's do that. Give us that needed information.
The police assured the church it has deployed personnel and resources across the country to prevent and address potential threats.
We want to give you full assurance that police and the other sister security institutions, we are committed to providing you peace, security, law and order before, during and after this coming January elections. So we want to assure you that we are here to give you that assurance that whatever we do to protect you, whatever we do to guide you, whatever we do to ensure that your safety is assured, we're going to do that.
The Ghana Police Service has already engaged the Muslim community, the media, and the political parties, and plans to engage more interest groups in the coming days on ways to ensure a peaceful election.
Thanks for staying with us. Now, the executive director of the Institute for Energy Security, Nana Mwesi VII, is asking government to dialogue with power producers to forestall any power cuts. His call is in reaction to reports that seven power producers have curtailed supply to the national grid, according to Gridco Grid report obtained over the weekend. We'll hear from Nana Mwesi VII in a bit. First, here's acting managing director of the Electricity Company of Ghana, David Asamoah. He has been explaining their difficulty in providing a schedule for the outages.
Majority of these deaths is as a result of forest shortfall. Each month, forest alone will lose about 37 million on monthly basis. Getting the dollar becomes a problem. Sometimes you even make payment like what I paid yesterday. It will take sometimes days, weeks before they get it because of the dollar. If it were to be serious, I have paid. I would just say I have paid the money. But when you pay, now you have to, the banks will have to pay the dollar. The conveyance will have to pay the dollar to convert before they pay. And by the time they convert, if the dollar increases, then it means that there's you still have further shortfall. So we have an agreement with them now. How it's going to be paid? ECG will be paying part. Ministry will come in. Also, and they have had that conversation. Just yesterday, they sent me a message that they have agreed with the ministry on their portion. So if the ministry is up, then and I spoke to the ministry, and the ministry has also agreed. So they come, and the ministry has also agreed. So the coming days, Sonia Asebi will be back. Not with.
Well, my colleague Kweku Asante has been going through the grid report. He joins us live in the studio with more. Kweku, 7 power producers. Yes. Not supplying power anymore. What exactly is the reason?
Well, for Sina, there's been an update. The situation has quite improved a little bit.
Okay.
Because as of the weekend, 7 power producers, including Amandi, Kalio Solar, TE66, as well as Car Power, were providing 0 megawatts to the national grid. The other 3 were Asogli, Siemens, and Bui. As of this morning, the situation has improved marginally because Kalio Solar and Bui Solar are back on stream, providing a total of 8 megawatts onto the national grid. The other 5, Amandi, TE66, Car Power, Asogli and Siemens, all independent power producers have been off. You know Asogli, because of the debt situation, the others have also threatened to do the same thing because of the debt. But the context is that if you look at the 2024 energy outlook, Ghana's dependable capacity is 4,855 megawatts. The current total load without these 7 power producers is 3,204 megawatts. If you compare this to the dependable capacity, it leaves a gap of 1,651 megawatts of power. And currently, at peak hours, Ghana demands 3,732 megawatts, and this is about 528 megawatts higher than how much we can generate without the 7 producers. Collectively, these 5 power producers who are currently off stream produce 1,250 megawatts. And this is needed to meet our demand at peak hour. Else, we have a current load shed of 528 megawatts. And that is why the lights are off in certain places, especially in the evening, because currently we cannot get 528 megawatts to actually produce the electricity to go into people's homes.
And we've been hearing from ECGs telling us they cannot provide us with a load shedding timetable. This is worrying.
Yes. According to the ECG boss who spoke on SMS, you played the insert early on, according to Mr. Asamoah, the situation is very unpredictable. Sometimes these power producers are on stream, sometimes they are off the stream. And because of this, they are unable to provide a schedule. In fact, if you look at Saturday, there were 7 of them that were off stream. Today, there are 5. But that is still significant. And some would say that electoral ECG, in particular, should be able to forecast in the week and know which exact power producers are unable to provide electricity, for which reason they can prepare a schedule. Because as we speak, the power fluctuations across the country is just not predictable. You have light today, you don't have light tomorrow, simply because we are currently shorting up to 528 megawatts of really needed energy.
And I noticed that for some of the power producers, they rely on solar energy. Yes. Does this have anything to do with what we're facing?
Well, when it comes to Kalio Solar and then Bui Solar, you know, recently the president commissioned Kalio Solar in the Upper East region. They have been on stream, off stream sometimes. Over the weekend, both of these solar powerhouses were off. As of this morning, they are back on and they are providing very little. 8 megawatts is not enough to actually deal with the current power situation that we have. And so it has not been explained why exactly they were off over the weekend, whether or not there were some maintenance schedule or anything. But as of this morning, they are back on. But it's 8 megawatts. It is very negligible in the look of things, given the very peak demand of 3,732 megawatts.
Thank you so much, Kweku Asante, for providing us with that update. We can now hear from the executive director of the Institute for Security, Energy Security, Nana Mwesi VII, who wants government to dialogue with power producers to forestall any power cuts. He spoke earlier on News6.
If we put Asogli, Amandi, Siemens, and Car Power together,
We're talking about close to 1,400 megawatts of power that is lost on the grid. And so it means that there is a deficit, definitely automatic deficit in terms of generation and supply. I just took a look at yesterday's condition sheet of the grid code, and I found that we produce roughly, even at peak power, an average of about 3,100 megawatts. It means that it is far below our peak demand of roughly 3,700. And so that gap has to be managed by load shedding. That's what we are seeing, what we're seeing. But then, how do we manage it as consumers? I think we must plan our day. Since they won't produce a timetable, we must plan our day, bearing in mind that at any moment, light could go off. If you're asking from the direction of consumers, what we must do, then of course, we must have that in mind. But if it's about government, then we will appeal rather to government to engage the IPPs as soon as possible. For the utilities, cash flow constraint is also hammering them back in terms of their operation. They are unable to buy the necessary parts as they claim or say to fix plants. They are able to buy the necessary materials to also, let's say, oil and all that, to make sure that the system are running. And so to them, until government collects a substantial amount of the debt owed them, they will be unable to operate.
Away from the energy sector, 10-year-old Lisa Lai, battling leukemia, has arrived at the Watts Donald Gordon Hospital in South Africa to begin a life-saving bone marrow transplant, while her treatment fully funded by the CEO of Engineers and Planners and Jata Cement, Ibrahim Mahama, has given her family renewed hope. Emmanuel Jivenu has more in this report.
It's about 5 a.m. Sunday, and little Lisa is wheeled out of the Rich Hospital. The ambulance takes Lisa to Kotoka International Airport with her loved ones following in a convoy. The 10-year-old once lit her home with laughter, but she's now locked in the fight against leukemia. Her family sold almost everything to save her, until the CEO of Engineers and Planners and Jata Cement, Mr. Ibrahim Mahama, stepped in to cover the over $100,000 treatment costs. At the airport, her family gathers for prayers. Amid hug and whispered words of encouragement, her mother struggles to hold back tears.
My girl has a chance to life again, because all hope was lost. We didn't know how we were going to be able to raise that amount to treat her and to pay for all our bills, our accommodation, everything. We are very much grateful to Mr. Ibrahim Mahama. She's excited. She's looking forward to the treatment. She wants to go back to school. So she's very happy and very optimistic.
Among those at the airport is the man who made it all possible, Mr. Ibrahim Mahama. He has personally come to see Lisa off, ensuring she had the emotional support she needed. Doctors advised that Lisa is given specialized care and safety of an air ambulance, an expense Mr. Ibrahim Mahama fully covered.
We have a boss and we have a father in Mr. Ibrahim Mahama, who has that empathy towards humanity. He has given everything out. The doctors are on standby in South Africa. As soon as they arrive there, the procedure will start. And we hope and we pray by the grace of God, everything will go and Lisa will be back stronger.
As the air ambulance takes off, carrying Lisa to South Africa, the family stands watching with prayers in their hearts and tears in their eyes for Lisa's family. This journey represents hope. Hope for recovery. Hope for laughter to return to their home. And hope that one day Lisa will achieve her dream of helping others fight cancer. Emmanuel Jiveno, Joy News, Kotoka Airport.
How touching. Well, that's how we take you to business updates next. Please stay tuned.
Welcome back to Business on Journeys today. My name is Winston Tucky, and now to our first business story. The Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies has assured it will not support any member that is engaged in any form of third-party suppliers or for adulteration. Chief Executive Officer Dr. Riverson Opon says the Chamber is working with its key stakeholders and partners to sanitize operations of its members. He spoke to Joy Business at a dinner night and rebranding event in Accra.
The decision to rebrand reflects a strategic evolution designed to elevate the organization's visibility, strengthen its advocacy efforts, and better align its identity with the dynamic energy landscape. Speaking to Joy Business at the event, Dr. Riverson Opon emphasized the significance of the rebranding, stating the word chamber evokes professionalism, unity, and credibility quality.
So the rebranding is not any change in identity, but it's a change towards maximizing our efforts that we've showcased for the past years. The rebranding today from an association to a chamber shows our effort to our stakeholder engagement, advocacy, and championing the oil and gas marketing companies in terms of industrial performance and also making sure that the standards and operations of the industries are met in accordance to the regulators. One of the serious issues that has always been on my table has to do with fuel smuggling and also fuel adulteration. As we speak now, things are better, I mean, to be very fair.
Director in charge of downstream petroleum at the Ministry of Energy, Ali Nuhu, urged member companies to address all issues that will affect the sector.
What the ministry seeks from the LPG marketing companies or AOMCs, now the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, is to ensure that there's collaboration between their groups and the National Petroleum Authority, which is the regulator, that is the that's implementing the cylinder supplementation model.
The change, according to the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, enhances its prominent role within the nation's downstream petroleum industry.
Now, moving on, women in the northern region are asking political parties to give timelines on some promises of economic policies for women. The women are also advocating tax waivers as part of policies they want from the next government.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
They made the request at a policy dialogue held in Tamale.
Economic dialogue on the theme "Tall Sustainable Development, the Economy We Want" was organized by the Frederick Ebbeck Stuftang Economic Policy Competence Center in partnership with SWEDA Ghana and Yarrow to provide women from different sectors of the economy a platform to engage the political parties and to seek clarifications on the content of their manifesto. Speaking in an interview, the executive director of SWEDA, Ali Masajito Said, said the issue that dominated the discussion was how political parties will implement their promises.
A lot of political parties are emphasizing what they have for women. And then we think that it is important that we create a forum for women to know, demand accountability, ask questions critically, and get involved in the governance process after the election. So that's what has brought us here. So we are looking at the manifestos, the economic policies of the various manifestos, specific attention to women. So we are looking at MPP, we are looking at NDC, CPP, and then others that will be able to fish out.
A gender advocate and administrator at the UDS, Faidatu Al-Hassan, raised concerns over tax regimes of various governments.
One challenge that women face is the high tax rates that overburden the rural woman, most of them who are into agribusiness, small-scale production, and also trade. You see that women end up paying so much for the goods and services they procure, for the little they try to do to put food on the table of their families.
The Northern Regional Director of the Department of Gender said there was no equity in allocation of resources.
If we are saying we want to empower women, our local women should be critical, because most of them that are into businesses and entrepreneurship usually do not even require bigger sums of capital to continue or start their businesses. But if we have a policy that seeks to support women, and at the end of the day, individuals are the ones benefiting more than the women groups that we have and we want to support, I think we should have a second look at it.
A queen mother from Damango, Betiwura, Alija Tuharuna, said even though political parties come with very good policies, implementation has been poor.
Let's take into consideration the affirmative action. How many women do we have, women representation in the district assemblies? You would lobby and lobby and lobby for them to appoint women, but it is not done. They say women should participate in assemblies, but the appointment is very low. We have insignificant women at the assembly. So how can issues of women be articulated?
A representative from Yaro, Kinsley Tomwaba, called for reorientation in communities on the capabilities of women.
Some men, like myself, want that the situation whereby there will be equity, not necessarily equality, but at least we should make sure we bring them to the level that will assist, and once women are progressing, we all benefit from it. So some men are supporting.
That's all for business. My name is Winston Taki. Coming up is sports.
Time now to bring you sports here on Joy News. Today with me, Muftau Nabila Abdullah, a former management committee member of the Black Stars, NS Thompson, has called on the Ghana Football Association to part company with head coach Otto Addo. According to him, Otto Addo and his technical team are not good enough to lead the Black Stars after they failed to secure qualification to the African Cup of Nations next year.
The problem is that we fought it in the appointment of the technical team over a period of years. Some of these things are also due to pressure from above. I'm telling you the truth.
All right. By pressure from above, what exactly do we mean? Pressure from government? Pressure from where? From the leadership of the FA?
My friend, Nat, if we decide to play that kind of ostrich game, we won't solve this problem. I'm telling you the truth.
I said
people don't want to talk about it. The media men talk it. They know it. At times there's pressure from above.
Okay.
As to who we want.
Okay.
As a coach.
So there's pressure from government sometimes. There's pressure from the FA leadership.
There's pressure from government.
Yes. Very well. Very well.
And it's not only under this government. From the 18 Mensah's time. You remember when we appointed Beretto?
Yeah. Mariano Barreto. Yes.
Yes. I confronted ET and said, ET, why Barreto? He said, look, that's what you want. I'm not trying to come into your work as FA, but I'm intervening as the sports minister. Some of these appointments, you know, are beyond those people sitting there as FA. All this go and do interview and the rest. Some they are mere rules. No, let's face it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm past that stage where I have to tell lies. When we're going to the worker, one of the worker, and we did a send off at the state house. Some of the players came to us and said, are you for sure this is the coach we are going to with? And we told them, this is what they said they want. So we have to go with them. So this appointment of coaches and the rest, and not take it from me. Anytime we've appointed coaches, and the coaches are appointed due to interference, that coach doesn't do well.
That is your sports for now. We do have more sports stories on myjoyonline.com. We appreciate your time.
Hello there, good afternoon. Welcome to the Showbiz segment with me, Jacqueline Ansuma Yeboa. Well, the CEO of JL Properties and Executive Chairman of JL Holdings, Dr. James Kondia Orleans Lindsay, has emerged as the Man of the Year at the 9th Emmy Africa Awards. Well, the award ceremony held on Sunday evening at the Grand Arena celebrated distinguished men across various fields who are committed to societal progress in sectors including industry, community, culture and public service. My colleague Nicholas Ekoyamwa was there and has more in the flowing report.
The Grand Arena came alive on Sunday with all the glitz and glamour of the 9th EMY Africa Awards. Invited guests stepped out in their finest to celebrate and recognize hard-working men who have positively impacted society. Nigeria's Chike delivered an outstanding performance. Singer Becca did not disappoint. Lomo Lomo hitmaker Kidi had the entire auditorium on their feet dancing. Oh, you dare to me, Lomo Lomo. 23 awards were presented to deserving individuals, with South African legendary actor Dr. John Carney receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award.
It's glad to be in Ghana, to be honored this evening. The 65 years I've been in the industry, I'm 81 years old, and that's Africa could think about somewhere down south. At the tip of the end of the Africa, there's someone called me. I am chuffed. I am moved.
It wasn't just about celebrating men. Women were also honored, with Valerie Labi emerging as Woman of the Year.
And I dedicate this award to my Wahoo riders.
Man of the Year at the EMY Africa Awards.
The highlight of the evening was when CEO of JL Properties and Executive Chairman of JL Holdings, Dr. James Kondia Orleans Lindsay, was named the ultimate man of the year.
Who said hard work doesn't pay?
It does.
It certainly does pay and breaks no bones. I first acknowledge and give glory to the Almighty God for being true to his promise in Jesus Christ and bringing me thus far.
Attendees also commended the organizers for taking the time to celebrate the contributions of men.
That is a great initiative to celebrate men, because I believe men are not really celebrated as much as women.
It is an inspiring environment to be in, to see, you know, fellow men, young men, African men who are bold, who are audacious, and who are pursuing big things.
EMY is doing the right thing to celebrate men.
And thanks to initiatives like the Emmy Africa Awards, you know, it's just keeping encouraging people and then, you know, just rubbing it off others. and just promoting the whole male agenda.
Executive Director of EMY Africa, Kojo Sobo, promised even greater things for the 10th edition.
It is important that we spotlight great African men who are doing great things to serve as inspiration. We are going into planning immediately after this this event, and I promise you it's going to be one for the books.
Some of the awardees included dancehall artist Stoneboy, who won the Man of the Year music category, former Black Stars captain Steven Appiah, who was honored with the Continental Sports Icon Award, and Bus Stop Boys, who won the Discovery of the Year. Nicholas Ekoyamwesh reports for Joy News.
On that note, it's a wrap for the Showbiz segments with me, Jacqueline Ansuma Yeboah. Over to you, Faustina Safo.
Thank you, Jacqueline, and congratulations to Stoneboy for winning the Man of the Year Music Award. I'm sure Shatawale has been sending his greetings to him. For more news, please log on to myjohnline.com. Some top stories there. Ghana to face liquidity pressure in 2025-2026 despite restructuring most of its debt. You can go and read that on myjohnline.com. My name is Faustina Safo. Good afternoon.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.